Wasn't that a beautiful song? Beautiful rendition. Thank you, Andrew, so much. Shall we just look to the Lord in prayer? Lord, we quiet our hearts before you this morning so we can hear your voice speaking to us through your word. We just humbly ask that you would guide us today by the Spirit and touch our lives and encourage us and challenge us in our walk in this world. We thank you that you're our shepherd and that you guide us through life. We trusted you for salvation, and now we trust you for the storms we go through. And you're with us in the battle, Lord. You're with us in life, and we are thankful. Please hide me behind the cross, and please speak through your word. And we just pray that you will be glorified, and we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. A scuba diver lives in the water, but breathes air. He takes his environment with him. An astronaut wears a specially designed suit to walk in space or walk on the face of the moon. But a Christian, however, is clothed with righteousness, Christ's righteousness, and puts on the whole armor of God. Because we're living in this world. And the title of our message today is Living for Christ in a Foreign Land. Doesn't it seem today more than ever before that we're living in a foreign land? Things are happening all around us, all through the world and here in the United States, that bring us sorrow and distress, that cause us to pray for what's going on. But we're thankful that though we're living in a foreign world, we are citizens of heaven. We have a higher calling. God wants us to be different than the people of the world that don't have the hope in Christ. And we do when they see the life that we live for the Lord that's different. They will want to become Christians as well. In the scriptures, we are called sojourners. We are called strangers. We are called aliens. And we are called pilgrims. God placed us right where he wants us to be. When you got saved and when I got saved, the Lord could have just taken us right to heaven, couldn't he? Just immediately taken us up. But he left us here for a reason, so that we could be a blessing to others and take others with us when we go. The three things that we're going to look at this morning is, number one, be separated from the world. Number two, be uncompromising with the world. And number three, be heavenly minded in the world. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11 to 12 speaks very clearly of this when Peter writing says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Hundreds of years ago, Isaiah said this. He quoted from this in his work, in his book, that they call evil good. And they call good evil. And that's true today. They call good evil. They call Christians who stand for the Lord. They say, that's evil. That's not good. That's bad. And then when you have sin openly committed, they say, it's good. And that's the kind of world that we live in. I learned years ago this expression, and it's so true and so relevant today. Someone once said, we live in the world, but we are not of the world. We're different. We're heavenly. We're spiritual. We're thankful for what God has done for us. So let's look at our first point today. Be separated from the world. This is not a topic that's often discussed in churches and preached from the pulpit. It's needed today, maybe more than ever before, that we will be separate from this world. because we don't want to be like chameleons who blend in. We don't want to blend in. We want to stand out and stand up for our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, one of the greatest problems is in the church today is not being separated. We see it with our kids in our neighborhoods. We see it in our workplaces, in places we go. We need to live in this world, but be separated from it. Not to allow the world to influence us, but to be for us to be an influence on the world. In the scriptures, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals." Yes, it's true in friendships. It's true in all relationships. It's true even in business relationships. And Paul encouraged the saints in 2 Corinthians 6:14 when he said, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?" We're different. We're separated from the world. Yes, that's what he wants us to do. And one of the hardest things we have to do in life is to distinguish it this way. To love the sinner, but hate the sin. Love the sinner, but hate the sin. And when we see the sin in the lives of people, instead of condemning them and putting them down, we pray for them. We love them. One of the strongest ways to bring people to Christ is through love. People respond to God's love, and we share it with people in the world. Jesus ate and drank with sinners. He loved sinners, and he won them to himself, but he didn't participate in their sin, and he won them to himself, and he told them how to live their lives. Also in 2 Corinthians 6, it says in verse 17, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." One of my favorite people to quote is Vance Havner. And Vance Havner said this one time, "We are not isolated, but insulated. Moving in the midst of evil, but not being touched by it. Separation is contact without contamination. Jesus was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, yet he was a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Some may remember the preacher John Hagee. He once said this. He said, "Separation from the world is the gateway to spiritual power. And what we need to do is to be walking with God always until we reach our destination." Yes, to be separated from the world and be set apart for the Lord. One of the passages of Scripture in the New Testament that is really encouraging and challenging at the same time is in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17, where John, writing to the Christian, says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." That's the challenge for us as we go out into the world, not to love the world, but to love our Lord and to stand firm on his word. Years ago, I heard a story, and I never forgot it. Bill McDonald told this story one time. And he tells the story of a Christian man who recently purchased a television set. And he was all excited to get it, and the delivery truck pulled into his house there, and on the truck it said this, "We bring the world into your home." Uh-oh. That man looked at that, he looked at that truck, and he said, "Send it back. I don't want to bring the world into my home. I have enough problems with the world than to bring it into the home. Now, we know there's nothing wrong inherently with TV itself. There are some good shows on television, but you have to be very, very careful. And movies in the same way. Because there's so much evil, so much filth, so much corruption that is there as well. Do you know if we invited James, who is also the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach, wouldn't that be something? We'd bring him here, and his message would come from his... He says, I'm going to speak to you today from James, my book, chapter 4 and verse 4. Listen to what it says. Adulterers and adulteresses. Wow. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I don't think we want to invite Mr. James back. His message is too strong. If you send him to churches like that, they say, I'm sorry, but our schedule is full. Because his message was very powerful and very strong. So that's our first point today, to be separated from the world. Not like the monks who used to live in the monasteries to try to stay away from sin. It didn't work. We have to go out into the world, but we need to be separated and we need to set apart for the Lord. Not only separated, but we need to not compromise with the world. We need to be uncompromising with the world. We must be on our guard 24/7, every day of our lives. The word compromise is defined as this: to make a shameful or disreputable concession. And that's what compromise is. And as soon as you start compromising just a little bit, then you compromise more and more. If you give an inch to the world, it's going to take a mile. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So we have to be careful not to compromise with the world, but to stand on our principles, stand on the word of God. If someone asks us a question, answer it straight out. What do you think of this? It's a sin, if that's the case. But compromises usually start small, and like I said, they lead to more and more compromises. One of Adel's favorite presidents, and my favorite presidents too, is Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln was not a man to compromise his principles. And he wrote one time, he said, I desire to conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I lose every friend on earth, at least I'll have one left, the friend that will be down inside of me. He stood for the truth, and he went through a tough time in his administration because of the Civil War and things going on. But there's no room for compromise in this life. The choice is ours every day, though. Every day, we're going to have to choose. Are we going to stand firm or are we going to compromise? And we all want to stand firm in truth and righteousness. Romans 12 and 2 should be a verse we all memorize and live by in our lives. And Paul, writing to the Romans, says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Years ago, I read a version of this verse in the Berkeley translation, it's called. And it says this: do not allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. Isn't that a vivid picture of this? To the world squeezing us into its mold. It's like if you've ever made Jell-O and you put it in a mold, what's it going to look like? It's going to look like the mold. It's going to come out that shape. And so we have to be careful. We have to not be conformed to this world, but transformed by God's word every day of our lives and not allow it to squeeze us. Someone once said, compromise with the culture is often the result when we lose a reverence and respect for the Lord. It's the, quote, Jesus won't mind attitude. To overcome compromise, we need to remove our fear of offending the world and recapture a healthy fear of the Lord that our God expects and demands. Jesus never compromised. The apostles never compromised. The early Christians never compromised their stand. Some of them were persecuted. Others were executed and martyred. But it's easy to compromise today, especially in the U.S. It really is, and we have to be very, very careful. It's okay if this movie's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. This show is all right. But that shouldn't be our standard. That shouldn't be our standard at all. It should be our standard is, what does the Word of God say? How is it going to benefit me spiritually? What lessons can I learn that are good and wholesome should be our standard, and we should not compromise at all. I read a humorous but very poignant story of the Little Sisters of in France. They're called the Little Sisters of the Poor, and they were going door to door to collect donations for old people. And so they were going house to house, and one of the nuns knocked on the door of a rich free thinker. And he invited the nun in, and he said to her, he says, I will give you 1,000 francs, I will give you 1,000 francs if you will drink with me a glass of champagne. Well, it was kind of an embarrassing situation for the nun, and she hesitated, but her hesitation was short. And after all, 1,000 francs means many loaves of bread. So a servant brought the bottle and poured, and the little nun emptied the glass. And she said, and now, sir, another glass, please, at the same price. She got it. She got it, but she compromised. And we can't use excuses. We can't compromise and say, well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. We have to be true to the Lord and honor him, and then he will honor us in our lives. So our first point, be separated from the world. Our second point, be uncompromising with the world. And now our third point is be heavenly minded. The best way to live on earth is to have our hearts and minds centered in heaven. When we do that, we can live the most successful, blessed, fruitful life when we do it. Colossians 3:2 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. We had a message not long ago about the mind. Alan was given that message. And how the devil goes after our minds. He's going after it 24/7 all the time. And we have to keep our minds on the things above, not on the things of this earth. You know, Abraham was a great example of someone who was living in a foreign land. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10 of Abraham, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham never built a house. He never had a house. He lived in tents. Spiritually, we should be living in tents. We should be ready at all times for the Lord's coming. It should be on our mind. We have in our scripture memory class, we're going to have it next week, but eagerly waiting for the coming of the Lord. And that's what Abraham did. He looked beyond the life he had here on earth to a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what he longed for. That's what I long for. I'm sure that's what you long for as well. And then I thought in Scripture, there's a number of people who lived in a foreign land, and God blessed them and prospered them while they were there. Joseph, when he was in Egypt. Moses, when he was living in Midian. Nehemiah, when he was in Babylon. Daniel in Babylon and Media Persia, and Mordecai and Esther in the rule of King Ahasuerus, also in Persia. You know, it's not easy living in this world. It's a sinful world. It's a corrupt world. On the one hand, we're citizens of the world, but on the other hand, we're citizens of heaven. And so to live with that dual citizenship and to show that we can live for Christ even in this world. But sometimes I think we feel like that scuba diver, don't we? We need that air coming in from the Scriptures all the time to keep us breathing, because otherwise we won't survive. Richard Baxter, thinking of heaven, said, "My knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim. But it is enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him." To those who've learned to love and trust Jesus, the prospect of meeting him face to face and being with him forever is the hope that keeps us going, no matter what life may throw at us. It's a hope in heaven. We put our hope in heaven, a hope to be with the Lord. And that hope should get us out of bed in the morning. That hope should put a smile on our face. That hope should keep us going all through the day and every day, because he gives us the grace to live in this world. Yes, we're living in a foreign land. It doesn't seem pleasant. You turn on the news, you see it on the internet, you see it on TV, hear it on the radio, whatever it is, and we just say, "I thought it couldn't get any worse." And it gets worse. And the next day, it gets still worse. We're getting worse and worse, but we're thankful for what God has given us. We still have a country that allows us to meet like we do and worship God and witness and things. We're so thankful. And even though things are falling apart in many places around us, we don't fit in this world. This world is not our home. Our home is in heaven, and we're just passing through. And we're looking forward to that. So may we remember this morning, let us be separated from the world in our character, in our conversation, in our conduct, and remember that heaven, our standards are heavenly standards, and they're high standards. The world says, "Okay, this is okay right here." No, God's standard is way up here, and we have to follow that. And let's also remember to not be compromising in the way we live and stand for the Lord. Let's be uncompromising each and every day. And then finally, let's remember to be heavenly minded, not earthly minded. Reminds me of a story of a duck. And this duck would come down into the barnyard where the chickens were living, and it was eating some of the food that the chickens were eating. And he liked it. He started developing a taste for it. He started getting heavier and heavier every day. He put on weight. He needed a diet, but he kept eating this food. And finally, he got to the point where this duck couldn't fly anymore. He couldn't fly anymore, so he had to live down there in the barnyard with the chickens when he should be flying up in there in the air with the other ducks. And that's such a good analogy of the Christian life today. We can't feed on the things of this world, or it's going to weigh us down and get us off course and affect our lives tremendously. The hymn we sang this morning, and I'll end with this, said this in the first verse. "Take time to be holy. Speak often with God. Find rest with him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek." May God help us today to live in this foreign land and to sing his praises and serve him every day. Shall we just close in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this challenging message. You challenged my heart, Lord, because we're living in the last days. We're living in a foreign land. We're not comfortable in this world, Lord. We feel like a fish out of water. But we pray that you will help us to live in this world and not be of this world. And help us to show the love of Christ to those who do not know you. And Lord, help us to win them. Win them before we go and leave this world. And Lord, we just thank you and pray that you'll take us home safely and with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.